In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We are continuing with September, volume 22nd, September 3rd, 1927. And Jesus is always talking to Louisa. Jesus is always giving these lessons, these truths, these manifestations to Louisa. And this is the thing that's so beautiful. What God is doing is he asked Louisa to put everything down on paper so that those who would want the divine will could also begin to learn how to live in the divine will, which he says he didn't give this to the saints. The saints learned how to do the will of God, and because of the kingdom of redemption. And now that the kingdom of sanctification, the kingdom of the third fiat, is coming upon the earth, we have to learn a new and divine way of holiness, as Pope St. John Paul II prophesied. This is what's coming. And so Jesus says the soul is light while the body is matter. And as the body is martyred, the blood that is shed does not expand, does not diffuse far away, but wets only a little space of the earth on which it finds itself. Therefore, its effects are limited and circumscribed to places, time, and to people. So here Jesus is showing us that what we have experienced to this point is the body. When the body's martyred, the blood just goes to the ground and it doesn't go very far. He says, on the other hand, this is what Jesus says, that of the soul is light. So that's how he started. The soul is light, the body is matter. So the Lord is going to ask us to begin to live this new and abundant life, this light, this love of God that he wants humanity to enter into. So he says this, the soul is light, and when this light is filtered, placed under a press, the light diffuses, it rises, it extends more and more. So Jesus is saying that this light can go anywhere and everywhere, basically, because it's light. It's not the blood that soaks into the ground, but it's the light that diffuses all around. And this is the thing that's so amazing that our God is showing us, is that this way of living. We see with the saints, they had a nimbus of light around their head. That's how we describe them. That's how we painted their pictures. Jesus is now saying this light that's the soul is supposed to possess, it will emanate from the whole body. When we see Jesus appearing to people, it's always light. Even those who had near-death experiences see this light. They say it's so beautiful. He's so filled with light and life and love. And it's the same thing with Blessed Mother. Jesus is now saying, this is how I want my people to begin to live. This is the light that Adam had before the fall. And so when Jesus and Mary brought to the earth this kingdom of redemption, Jesus redeeming, Our Lady with Jesus, co-redeemer, was with Jesus on Calvary and brought this redemption to humanity. Now, Jesus says, now is the time for sanctification. This is the reason why Our Lady of Revelation in 1947 said to Bruno, time has now come to an end. It's not the end of the world. This is why everything is happening with our family, our friends, our neighbors, our coworkers, our parishioners, our nations. Everything is happening. And we're going to see things that we've never seen before. And it's going to be very, very interesting time for the church, because we're in that final battle. We're in that final battle where God wins. And the evil one thinks he can destroy God, destroy what God has planned. But Jesus said very clearly, the gates of hell will not prevail against his church, which means it's a full attack inside and outside. But it's not going to prevail. They're not going to win. God is going to win. And this is the glory of reading the divine will. We have this opportunity to enter into a life of peace, joy, and happiness, a life of heaven while on earth. That's what he teaches Louisa. How do we get there? We get there basically as the saints have taught us. The bride must be, must go to Calvary as well. As the groom went to Calvary, the bride has to go to Calvary. Okay. It's going to be tough. It's going to look as if the church is gone. It's going to look as if the church is dead. But then Jesus says, when that time happens, a new and abundant life is going to be given to all the world. This life of sanctification, this purification of the church, purification of the world is necessary, Jesus says, because what's going to come upon the earth is so beautiful that at this point, the church and the world has to be purified. So what the Lord is asking of us is begin to understand that this new and divine way of holiness that Pope St. John Paul II prophesied about when on the feast of St. Honorable de Francia, the canonization of St. Honorable de Francia, this is what's coming. And so our Lord is asking us, are you willing? Are you willing to live the life that God planned for us at this time? Okay. We have been predestined to live at this point. God, this is planned this, that we be alive at this time. Why? Because he says, I need the souls who must live in the divine will. So he's going to show us how to live in the divine will. It's the how and the why, if you want to say it's the plan when we read the divine will of what God is going to bring about and how to get through it. So he says, very clearly that this soul is light. And when this light is diffused, it rises and extends more and more. Who can restrict the circumscribe the light of the sun? No one. Who can stop the sun? No one. Who can ever prevent its solar rays from investing the entire earth and making its heat felt by all, everyone? No one can stop it. We have to begin to see that the soul is so essential that right now, what God has planned for the soul is a perennial communion with God. That's heaven, where we, once this sanctification takes place, see, the saints are in heaven without a body. Their soul is in heaven. On earth, Jesus says, is the only time that you can pray your rounds, do your rounds of creation and redemption, where we can be one with God in the way Jesus prayed, in the way Mary prayed, in the way Adam prayed before the fall. He says, after you die, when your body's in the earth, your soul is in heaven. But St. Thomas Aquinas says, we are called to have a body and soul eternally. And so that body hasn't been given to humanity yet. When Jesus returns with divine justice, and Jesus explains that to Louisa. When Jesus returns with divine justice, the bodies will be glorified. So what our God is asking us is we have to understand that this time that we're living in basically is winding down. It's coming to an end. It's not the end of the world. So he says, there is no power against light. There are no weapons that can wound light, that can kill light. All powers together are powerless against the light. Whether they want it or not, they are forced to give its course and let themselves be invested by light. See, we can say there's no sun in the sky. We can say, you know, I'm going to walk on the earth and basically the sun isn't going to bother me. I'm not going to see the sun. You can say all you want, but this light has to, it has to, reign. And when we walk in the light, we're filled with life and love. And that, so Jesus is saying to Louisa, now I'm going to teach you how and why. I'm going to give you the plans of what is going to happen. And it's up to you whether or not you want to follow the plans or not. And this blueprint, if you want to say, of a building. When we read, when we study, when we put this into practice, Jesus keeps on expanding our capacity to enter into this light while on earth, heaven while on earth. And so he says, if anyone taken by madness should think of stopping the light with a power that is all its own and natural for it, the light would laugh at the soul, winning the light would spray him more and more with light, life, love. See, so if people think that they can live without the light of the sun on earth, it's just foolishness. It's the same thing for the soul. The soul is, you know, Jesus says, you know, you are the light of the world. It's very simple. Lucifer was the light bearer. Okay. When he said, I will not serve, I will not obey. He basically chose darkness. He chose to give up everything that God had given him. And, he was basically, Jesus said, I saw him cast to the earth like a bolt of lightning. What's happening now is Jesus is saying to us, he is the light of the world. Jesus comes to bring light and life and love to the world because Lucifer said, no, I'm not going to serve. I'm not going to do this. So what happens at that point is now we don't have an angel giving light, but a God who's giving light. And what does he say to his apostles? He says, you are the light of the world. So he's telling us that he wants us to be his reflection. That's basically what we learned from volume 1 through volume 10, how to become a divine mirror of Jesus, how to become a saint. And we can learn from all the saints, if you can learn from, you know, St. Francis and learn his Franciscan way. We can learn from St. Dominic and learn the Dominican way. Jesus says, what I want is I want you to learn from my way, a divine aspect, this divine light that I want to breathe into my people as I breathed into Adam. And Adam said, no. By falling into sin, Adam said, the original sin, Adam said basically the same thing. I will not serve. I will not obey. What Jesus is now showing Louisa is, okay, since Jesus came to earth, died on the cross, took upon himself our sin, our worry, our fear, our anxiety, our complaints, our negativity, our sin, it doesn't belong to us anymore. It's not ours. So Jesus says, I'm calling you to live a life of light, of love, of life, divine life. So the more that we read and study, I mean, we want God, we love God. And Jesus says, I'm going to show you how to do this the way Adam did before the fall. But even more than that, it's the new life of Jesus, the new life of Mary, the divine life of Jesus and Mary. That being breathed into the people, this new and divine way of holiness that John Paul II prophesied about has begun. And our Lord is looking at us and saying, do you want this? And when we say yes, he goes, good, I'll give you the book of heaven. So if we have the book of heaven, I don't care if you bought it yourself or somebody bought it for you. Jesus says, I have planned from the beginning of time to give you this book, to teach you the way. So Jesus says to Louisa, in reality, he says, the divine will is for all of humanity. But really the truth is it's for only those who want it. And if you want this gift of the divine will, we have to learn it. We have to study it. We have to put it into practice. Jesus teaches Louisa that we are called to know the divine will, live in the divine will, and possess it. Let the divine will reign on earth in us, this dust, as it is in heaven. So Jesus says, Now the soul is more than sun in the sky. And when the soul suffers my privation, as she goes around, she prays her rounds of creation, rounds of redemption, and is crushed under its press, so many more rays does the soul acquire to extend and expand more. So what's happening is this is the life of Louisa. It wasn't an apparition. It wasn't a vision. It wasn't locution. The church will explain this someday soon, I hope, what this means. It's not what the saints went through. Her way of her normal way, she says, my usual way was to be outside of her body in heaven or outside of her body crucified with Christ. It's the suffering. She lived a life as Father Nibale said, more of heaven. She lived a life more of heaven than of earth. And that's exactly what Padre Pio said. She lived a life more of heaven than of earth. This life of heaven is what God wants us to begin to live. No more worry, no more fear, no more anxiety, no more complaints, no more negativity, no more sin. That's what he's calling us to. And as we read, as we study, as we put this into practice, even our human inadequacies are being overcome. Why? God is perfecting us. This perfection of the divine will is this fire from heaven. And for those who want the divine will, this fire from heaven is consuming the world in love, little by little, but there's going to be a moment when it's here. And what is the fire from heaven? It's the Sacred Heart of Jesus, the Immaculate Heart of Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve, the new and abundant way of living, this fire that's going to consume the world in love. A lot of people are afraid of, it's going to be awful. It's for those souls who love Jesus and Mary, it will be ecstasy. Look at the ecstasy of St. Teresa of Avila. Look at the ecstasy of St. Catherine of Siena. This fire, this love, these arrows of love piercing their hearts is what's going to happen with us. If we love Jesus, if we love Mary, if we're striving to live a life of perfection, no worry, no fear, no anxiety, no complaints, no negativity, no sin. This light that of Jesus and Mary radiating in us, who want this gift, this fire from heaven will be ecstasy. Now, those that don't want the love of God, who want their own human love, their own human misery, Jesus says, this will be wailing and grinding of teeth. Why? They don't want, right now, they don't want God. They don't want holiness. They don't want sanctity. So God has to give that to them. For us, we want holiness. We want this sanctity. We want this life, this light, this love of God radiated in us. God goes, good, I have to give this to you. This is what you're longing for. This is what you want. So we have to look at how are we living? Jesus says, be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Be perfected as your heavenly Father is perfect. The saints have said, how do we do this? So they would pray, they would fast, they would do penance, they would mortify themselves. They would want to enter into this life of perfection. I've mentioned my priest friend who was very, very thin, and we were at dinner and I said, have some more to eat. And he goes, look at me. Why do you think I look like this? And I go, you don't eat? And he goes, that's it. I'm fasting. I'm fasting from things that I would normally want. And you look at him and you go, whoa. You know, don't you want to be healthy? And he goes, I am healthy, but it's my whole goal is heaven. It doesn't mean you starve yourself to death. I mean, during Lent, it's a great time for fasting. We get many, many graces to fast and to pray and to do penance and to convert. Jesus is saying to us, I want you, what do you want? I have to give it to you. What do you long for? I have to give it to you. So when this time comes, when the world is set on fire, there, our prayer is going to help many people say to God, I'm sorry for the way I'm living. I want you. And that desire to turn back to God will help them, save them from the abyss. So don't stop praying for everybody. We pray for everybody. We want all of humanity to recognize our Lord, all of humanity to recognize our Lady, all of humanity to want to desire to live this abundant life of Jesus and Mary. Don't stop praying for your family. Don't stop praying for anybody. It's our job. Jesus says to Louisa, would you stand in the breach as Moses stood in the breach for the Israelites? Would you stand in the breach and pray like Moses prayed? Why? For all of humanity, that they turn back to God. And when Louisa said yes, Jesus said, good. This is what I did on the cross. This is what my mother did at the foot of the cross. Prayed for all of humanity. And now I'm giving this life to you, Louisa, to pray for all of humanity. So when we pray in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future. And we say to God what Jesus taught Louisa, here's my prayer. I give it to you, Lord. Let this prayer become your command. We are confident that what we pray for will happen. Jesus says, ask, believe that you have received it and it is yours. Prayer is very, very powerful. And a lot of people have learned how to pray by begging God continuously pleading with God, worried, fearful, anxious, complaining, Lord, help, help, praying. Jesus says, ask, believe that you have received it, and it is yours. So the new and divine way of holiness is with total confidence in God, total trust in God, more than what the saints did. The saints learn how to do the will of God. We're learning how to live in the will of God. That's what Jesus taught Louisa. This is a new and divine way of holiness. We have to understand this. As it seems like everything's falling apart around us, it's not. God is getting everything ready for what? The kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. It's the fulfillment of the Our Father. So we Catholics should be filled with joy, filled with confidence, filled with trust in God. We have the fullness of faith. We have the Eucharist. We can visit Jesus every day if we wish. And if we don't have a parish around, we can use the internet, type in the perpetual adoration, live streaming. And then there is Jesus. And we can look at him and adore him and love him and praise him and thank him and bless him and worship him. We are seeing God. That's what's so beautiful about the Holy Eucharist. Yes, some say, well, Jesus didn't really mean eat my flesh, drink my blood. Well, he didn't. Read scripture. He said, eat my flesh, drink my blood. And they all looked at him and said, this is a hard saying. And they left him. They all left him. And then Jesus turned to the apostles and said, will you too leave me? And that's when Peter says, we believe that you are the Messiah. You are the Christ. You have the words of eternal life. Where else can we go? This is what we find in the book of heaven. It's Jesus speaking to us every day. Now, this is what he's saying. The soul, he's telling us, is more than sun. And when you're crushed with physical, spiritual, mental, emotional sufferings, when you're going through this, more rays are acquired to extend and expand more and more to everyone in the world. This is the life of Jesus. This is the life of Mary. And we share, when the priest puts a drop of water in the chalice every day, he says, may we share in the divinity of Christ. We're sharing in that divinity in the little that we suffer physically, spiritually, mentally, emotionally. Jesus suffered the most. Jesus shed every drop of blood. And when the Father looks at his children and says, who loves my son? Who loves Jesus? And we say, we do. He says, would you like to be more like him? And when we say yes, he goes, then I will help you to be more like him through physical, spiritual, mental, emotional sufferings. And what do? We complain about what we go through. We drag our cross behind us because why do I have to go through this? Why did Jesus go through this? Okay, it's to begin to understand the life of Christ, the life of Mary, her sufferings. She sacrificed her son. She knew that either he died or we all would die. And she said, he, the Lord, her son would die for us. She knew it was going to be a sword that pierced her heart, cut it in two, like his heart was sliced in two. And so what Jesus is now saying, I have to get you ready for what I, God, am going to bring about in the world. And it looks like everything's falling apart, but in truth, God is winning. That's the truth. It might look bad. It might sound bad, but what we know is God is in charge. He wins this battle. We're with him. We rejoice in the fact that we are with Jesus and Mary. Yeah, it's going to be tough. It's going to be painful, but we're going to win with God. That's the glory. So Jesus says, since this pain, this suffering of a divine life by doing the will of God in this martyrdom, the soul offers the most beautiful act. The soul extends this light of her so much that no one can reach her because it is a divine will that enters into this martyrdom caused by the privation of your Jesus. So he's talking mainly about Luisa at this point, because when Luisa didn't see Jesus, she was dead. She says, I have no life in me. Like I said, this is not an apparition. This is not a locution. This is not a vision. She participated in God. Okay. When she didn't see Jesus, she says, I'm dead. I can't breathe. My heart doesn't beat. There's nothing I can do. Everybody says she was always complaining. She was dying. She was dead. And she was calling to God, I want to be alive with you. You are my life, she would say. You are my light. You're my all. The pain of a divine life by doing the will of God is a martyrdom of the soul and offers the most beautiful act. Her light extends so much that no one can reach her because it is a divine will that enters into this martyrdom caused by the privation of Jesus. We get glimpses of this, you know, not being able to adore Jesus in the monstrance. When John Paul II said he wanted every parish to have Eucharistic adoration, not just for a day, not just for an hour, but Eucharistic adoration, just what he did in the Vatican. When you go into the Vatican, there's Eucharistic adoration every day for those who want it. And see, this is the thing. It's for those who love God and just want to be with him, want to look at him, not to go in and to read a book, but to fall in love with God more and more each day. Jesus, this longing for Jesus, this, when we read the book of heaven, when we read Jesus speaking to Luisa, there's almost an envy. We see what God is saying to her. And her seeing Jesus and Jesus seeing her, we long for that. We desire that. That's a privation that we go through. It's not as severe as Luisa, but Jesus says, it's a divine will that enters into this martyrdom, this longing for God, this desire for God. We want to adore him and love him and praise him and thank him and bless him and worship him. This is what Jesus offers us in the Blessed Sacrament. And he says, it is caused by the privation of Jesus. Jesus says to Luisa and to us, I can't show myself to you yet. You're not ready. You're not ready yet. He would appear to Luisa because of who Luisa, she's the newborn, the firstborn of the divine will. But for us, we're not ready. If we saw God right now, we would die. He's so beautiful. He's so holy. He's so perfect. He's so loving that we would be overwhelmed with such joy that our hearts couldn't take it. So what Jesus is saying is, I want to prepare you for this time that's coming, this fire that's coming from heaven, that's going to consume the world in love. The true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary, the Sacred Heart of Jesus, the Immaculate Heart of Mary. I want to get you ready for this. So what has he done? He's given us the book of heaven. So little by little, we fall more and more in love with God every day. We're on fire with love for God every day. And that's what the saints have said. If you're in front of the Blessed Sacrament and your heart isn't on fire with love with God, you're not ready. It's not a place to read a book. It's not a place to look at your watch. I got 3 more minutes and then my hour is done. No, it's a time to meet the groom. We are the bride of Christ. Collectively, he's going to marry the church. But Jesus tells Louisa, I'm going to marry each soul individually. This is why Louisa was always crying out to God. She missed her groom. She was in love with her groom. This is another reason why we wear the wedding ring. We wear the wedding ring because we have to remind ourselves that we belong to Christ. He's come to earth to find a bride. And this longing for Christ is a martyrdom caused by the privation of Jesus. But unlike Louisa, we don't see God as she did. So therefore, we haven't had that intimacy with God, seeing him, seeing his the beauty of God, the love of God. And so therefore, it's a martyrdom that we're going through that is not as severe as Louisa, but we begin to understand that her longing for Jesus, crying for Jesus, is a glimpse of what maybe we should be doing. Longing to be with him, to spend time with him, to worship him. You know, it's all about God. You know, he breathed into dust his image and likeness. What came out of the dust was the image and likeness of God. And so when we think of the DNA of Adam, what was it like? The image and likeness of God. Now our DNA, get old, gray-haired, wrinkled, become food for worms. That's not what God wants. He wants us to go back to where we were before the fall, to go back to our origin, to go back to the womb of the Father. This new and abundant life that our God has given to us is something that will astonish us for all eternity, that he would choose, predestine us to live at this time, to enter into this final purification of fire from heaven. It's not doom and gloom. If you love Jesus, if you love Mary, it's ecstasy. You have to understand, Our Lady said that. She said, what's coming is going to be good for some, bad for most. So why we are praying the rounds, round of creation, round of redemption, we're praying this in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future, so everyone can get ready for this great outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Everybody's going to get ready through our prayers. So you have to understand, prayer is like a rain cloud over a person. Okay. You pray and nothing happens. You pray and nothing happens. What's happening? This rain cloud is getting bigger and bigger and bigger. If you want to say it's grace waiting for the person to say yes, the person to say, Lord, it just pours down on them. This prayer, we have to understand it. Why are we Catholic? Why are we desiring this? Because someone in our family, maybe our grandparents, maybe our great grandparents, maybe our aunts or uncles, maybe it's friends and neighbors, someone has been praying for us. And that grace, when we finally say yes to God, showers us with everything that God wants us to begin to live. And little by little, we turn around. It's like a plant in the desert. As soon as it starts raining, it starts to grow again. And this is what God is waiting for. He's waiting for us to turn back to him with our whole heart, mind, and soul, to want him with our whole heart, mind, and soul. It's not just, that's why Sunday is the Lord's day. It's not a sports day. It's not another Saturday. As we begin to do this, we have the strength to get through the week. It's the minimal requirement. Keep holy the Lord's day. One day. And we try to find anything and everything to entertain ourselves. Again, we have to turn back to Jesus. He is our Lord, our Master, our King, our Savior, our God. And this is what he's saying, that longing for him is we enter into this martyrdom caused by the privation of Jesus. He steps back and he wants to see who wants him, because he has to give everybody what they want. And when we long for Jesus, when we search for Jesus, when we spend time in front of the Blessed Sacrament, when we go to Holy Mass, when we pray with Our Lady, the Holy Rosary, when we wear the scapular, the clothing of heaven, this is what he tells Luisa: I'm going to reclothe you in divinity, royal garments of divinity. That's what Adam had. He walked and talked with God in the cool of the evening. That's the communion he had, a perennial communion with God. So God gives us communion now so we can begin to walk with him, to meditate on him, to long for him. Jesus says, matter does not enter at all into this martyrdom, but everything is light. See, we're entering into this life, this light, this love of Jesus and Mary. Matter does not enter into this martyrdom. Everything is light. And then Jesus says, light is your Jesus. Light is my divine will. Light is your soul. And they form such an enchantment of light that heaven and earth are invested by it, bringing the benefit of the heat and of the light to everyone and everything. Do you see what Jesus is saying? As you learn this, as you study this, you want the light. You want Jesus. You want his will. You want your soul to be filled with his light, not the darkness of the earth. The light of the sun, Jesus, this new and abundant life that he wants to breathe into us. It's very, very close. You have to understand, this isn't 1,000 years from now. This is right around the corner. And Jesus is saying, I have to give it to you. So Jesus is saying to us today, begin to understand what the divine will is. If you begin to understand who I am, Jesus says, then you'll begin to understand what the light of my divine will is all about. It's to enter into this life, this light of the new Adam and the new Eve, more than what God gave to Adam. That's why on Holy Saturday night, we sing, oh, happy fall of Adam. Why are we happy about this? Because now Jesus is the new Adam. Mary is the new Eve. And this abundant life of Jesus and Mary is being breathed into us if we wish. I mean, every time you take a breath, think about this breath, this Ruah of God breathing into the dust. We say, Jesus, I want to breathe that. I want to breathe the Ruah of God into me. I want to breathe this divine life into me and to all of humanity. Breathe this light into us again. You have redeemed us, Jesus. Now sanctify us through the power of your Holy Spirit. As we begin to live this life of Jesus and Mary that was given to Luisa, what happens at this point is you're happy. You're peaceful, full of peace. You're joyful, full of joy. See, it's this new and abundant life that John Paul II said, it's begun. It's here for those who want it. Your worry, your fear, your anxiety, your complaints, your negativity, your sin goes away like water off a duck's back. That's what Jesus is wants for us. We're not there yet. We got to go to confession each week. But God is asking us, are you willing to let go of everything so that I will be your light? I will be your life. I will be your love. And when we say yes, Jesus becomes our light. The divine will becomes our light. Our soul becomes filled with light. And Jesus says, it's such enchantment of light that heaven and earth are invested by it. Everything's changing. Heaven and earth become one, bringing the benefit and heat of all the light to everyone, past, present, and future. Do you see what God's got planned? And he's saying to us, I've chosen you. I predestined you to live at this time, to be one with me, to help all of humanity, to get ready, to have all of humanity recognize who I am, Jesus says. And he uses his name all the time. He uses God's name all the time. Therefore, he says, the martyrdom of the body is nothing compared to the martyrdom of the soul. It's to enter into this light, this love, this life of God. So the suffering that we're going through, the physical, spiritual, mental, emotional, is our cross. It's a sliver of what Jesus went through. It's not much. I mean, it might seem like a lot. I mean, there's a lot of suffering, but Jesus is saying the suffering is the stagecoach to heaven. This is what he tells Louisa. As we go through the suffering of, see, you don't want suffering. You want to take Jesus down from the cross. You say, Jesus, come down from the cross for a minute. Let me take your place just for a second. That's the suffering that we go through. It's to love Jesus so much that you say, let me take your place for a minute. It's not because we love suffering. It's we love Jesus and we want to compassionate him. We want to help him just for a second through our physical, spiritual, mental, emotional suffering. So it's not that, I mean, you know, we don't want to suffer. We don't want pain, but we want him to be relieved for a second. We want Our Lady to be relieved for a second of what both of them went through on Calvary. And this is the martyrdom. It's not the martyrdom of the body, but the martyrdom of the soul, of saying to Jesus, I long for you. I love you. I desire you so much that let me take your place just for a minute to help you go through your suffering for all of humanity. And that's the life that Jesus is asking us to do. He's asking us to enter into his life, his light. This is what he wants from us. This is what he needs from us. This is why he chose us to live at this time. That's why Our Lady of Revelation said to Bruno in 1947, again, 40 days after Louisa died, Our Lady descended to earth. 40 days after Jesus rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven. So it's like now Our Lady is saying to us, time is now ready. The kingdom is here. The kingdom is not only at hand, it's for those who want it. And so therefore, God has given us the book of heaven. He says he's planned this. He knows who's going to read. He knows who's not going to read. He knows how much we're going to read. He's going to know how little much we read. He knows it already, but he's offering this to us. And it's our desire, our fiat that leads us, guides us, and directs us to him and him alone. So we'll end with a prayer. May the blood that flowed upon the wood of this cross free us from our human will, that we live in God's holy divine will always. We ask this in Jesus' name, under the mantle of Mary, through the intercession of Louisa. And we pray that this prayer becomes God's command, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you.